I'm Sharani.
Hi, I'm Sar.
You're listening to the Toasters Digest podcast, brought to you by IIT Toastmasters Club. In this episode, we will walk you through a few frequently asked questions in Toastmasters and some of the challenges that public speakers face.
I have a few questions up my sleeve as well. The first one being, who's the most inspiring Toastmaster?
So, there have been several Toastmasters who have inspired me, especially when it comes to preparing for contests. I would refer to international speeches and world champions. And among those, it's probably Cyril Junior Dame who had inspired me the most. He is the 82nd world champion of public speaking and also the youngest to hold the title. Something I have learned through Toastmaster Cyril's speeches is that you don't really need to involve a lot of complex vocabulary, complex statements. It's all about simplicity, and honestly, having to say what you really want to say and making the audience feel what you have to say. And this has been the kind of motivation even in my speeches, because it's not just about your language or how proficient you are in it, but also being able to convey the message clearly and being able to become a transformative speaker, which he truly is.
So, yeah, being able to, you know, weave magic out of simple words and statements is kind of like a great gift. I agree with you. Well, I know, Sharani, that you have been placed at club level and area level in Premier Speech Contest. So, you have a lot of experience with speeches. How do you actually prepare your speeches?
When it comes to speech preparation, it always starts with introspection. You delve deep into your memories, your past chapters in life, and try to figure out if there's a story, a memory that is worth sharing, and if it has a message that you can convey to your audience. And let's say at certain times where your memory goes completely blank, I would refer, you know, movies, books, even songs, because speaking is kind of like an art. It's like weaving your own story, you're writing your own novel, sometimes painting your own canvas, and it all comes down to how you can relate with the audience and those beautiful memories that you are passionate talking about. And also, while preparing for a speech, I would suggest to do it multiple times, rehearse your speech to get feedback from others as of what they think about your speech, because it really helps.
Yes, I totally agree, Sharani. There are a lot of aspects that you can, you know, refer to prepare a great speech, and I hope our audience, you know, gained a lot of benefit from Toastmasters Sharani's tips.
Toastmasters Sarah, why did you join Toastmasters?
Well, it's a long story, so I'll summarize it a bit. The thing is, I was introduced to Toastmasters through my school, where we were having a youth leadership program hosted by a club, a Toastmasters club around my area. And the thing is, at first I really hated speaking, and I would always sit at the back and, you know, admire all of those who had the guts to go up and speak and talk whatever they had to talk about. I actually hated it, but then I had this transition where I went from school to university, and that is where I experienced the change at that Toastmasters club. Well, fun fact is, my mom forced me into joining Toastmasters, but I really thank her so much for doing that right now. Toastmasters at university was so much different, and I got to know that Toastmasters International is something that is wholly different from what I had experienced at school. What we would do at school is we'd call out names of people who had prepared their speeches, and then they'd go ranting about some facts about the world or something like that instead of talking genuinely. Because that's what a speech is meant to be. It's meant to, you know, express the speaker who is trying to be genuine. And yeah, so which is why I didn't know much about Toastmasters at school. Well, to sum it all up, why did I join Toastmasters? Well, I have been enjoying it throughout, and I have been experiencing a lot of enjoyable situations and networking with a lot of fun people. So I'd say that I love Toastmasters. That's why I joined.
I'm very glad to hear that. And as the Toastmasters has been there for some time, I think it's almost a year.
1.5 years probably.
Okay. So what has Toastmasters taught you up till now?
Well, there are a few things that Toastmasters has taught me up till now. And half of it I got through being in an expo position with the Vice President of Education at our club. Well, the first thing is that it's of course public speaking. You have to take those long steps up the stage and face the audience and talk to them, gain their attention, make them like how you talk. That was kind of difficult for me at first, and I'm still in the learning process, but I know I have improved a lot since May 2022. And another thing is leadership. You see, there are two kinds of leadership according to me. There are many types, but I'll elaborate more on these two. We have the dictatorship and we have the democratic leadership. So the dictator orders everyone to do their stuff and, you know, delegates work and, you know, doesn't take no for an answer. But the democratic leader is what a Toastmaster is, a democratic leader, or maybe a servant leader. Yeah, they don't actually stay at the front always. They tend to go to the back sometimes, and they direct their members and to give speeches and mentor them as well, which is what I have been doing. I have been encouraging people to give speeches and, you know, encouraging them when they feel down about maybe their confidence, like, oh, I'm not good enough. I have discovered that I love doing that, you know, encouraging people and you know, teaching them a few tips of what I have learned in my Toastmasters. So, yeah, so those are a few things that Toastmasters has taught.
Thank you, Toastmasters. That is actually a lovely take on what Toastmasters have to offer and how it impacts your leadership styles as well.
Well, next up, you see, each Toastmaster has their first time. Am I right? So, what did you feel when you faced your first time up on the stage?
My first time on stage was probably back in 2019 when I had to contest for the tabletop and speech contest at club level. And it turned out to be a disastrous experience because I went completely blank in the middle of the speech where I almost forgot the topic itself. It was intimidating, and I really don't want to even go back to that experience. It's actually scary. And I remember my evaluator trying to have this expression where she tells me, "You're a disappointment to the whole world." But that is how I felt, at least. And it kind of made me reluctant to come back to Toastmasters as well. However, I did come back. And that is where everything changed. With those mistakes you learned, you really grow into something that you don't even think that's possible. So that was my first experience on stage. And if I get the chance to go on stage right now, I don't think I'll be making the same mistakes again.
Yes, the important thing about Toastmasters journey, as you said, is falling and then getting back up even more powerful. So, according to you, what are the traits of a Toastmaster?
Traits of a good Toastmaster? Now, let me put it this way. You've got to be bold. You've got to be brave. Like Batman. So, it's all about taking risks when it comes to Toastmasters. You can either be the one sitting in the audience listening to all the speeches, or you can be the one going on stage taking that risk and doing the impossible. So the more risks you take and the more you think outside the box, the more you place yourself in situations that make you uncomfortable, that is where you grow. And that is what makes you a successful Toastmaster. Because if you do not explore those boundaries where you have set yourself as a speaker, you're not gonna really advance in your path. And I see that as a really important trait when it comes to Toastmaster. Self-improvement and constant learning while listening to others, because even from everybody else's speeches, there's a lot you can take, a lot you can learn. Now, as a speaker who has been constantly doing speeches, and I think you were placed first at the Hubris speech and club contest, so what aspect of a speech do you think makes it successful and engaging to the audience?
Well, Sharini, there are actually a few aspects that I know about. I know there are a lot that I still don't know about, but let me tell you what I know of. Well, the first thing is obviously eye contact. So you look at the audience, like I told earlier, and gain their attention. Now, say if I did not look at you and was just looking here and there, you would actually not be into the conversation. You'd be spacing out, be thinking, okay, what am I going to eat for lunch right now? Eye contact matters a lot in a speech. It's like you're commanding the audience to talk to you with your eyes. Secondly, we have body language. Well, there's this view I have of things that you should not have too much body language or maybe too less body language, because either of those means that you obviously are very, very nervous in your speech. So imagine someone comes up to the stage and then starts waving their hands around. That also would, you know, drive away the audience's attention from you. They'd be focusing on your hands or maybe your legs. And yes, that would, the same would happen with less body language. And yes, the structure of your speech matters as well. So you have the intro, body, and the conclusion. That's how it goes. Usually you could twist it a bit, but that's the format that usually speakers do, so that the audience won't be wondering, what am I listening to? You were talking about something else earlier, but now what are you talking about? So those are a few aspects I think that could make a speech successful.
Yes, I do agree with you, Sarah, and I think that will be a lot of valuable information even for our audience whenever they have the chance to do a speech. I hope you all get the most out of it. And next, I have a very interesting question for Sarah. Now, even the audience might be a bit curious about our slogan in Toastmasters, which is, where leaders are made. Now, how do you think, Sarah, are leaders made in Toastmasters?
Well, like I said earlier, Sharon, there are two kinds of leaders that I know about that are the prominent people I have faced throughout my life. So there's the democratic leader and the dictator. So, well, Toastmasters doesn't have a dictator. They have either the servant or the democratic leader. So what this leader does is they guide the people either through the front or the back. So how would you know a Toastmaster is a good leader? Well, I'll talk about it maybe outside of Toastmasters or inside of Toastmasters. Maybe you're in the Exco or in a Toastmasters club, or maybe you're doing a group project with a few of your members. Let's say, for example, you are having a conflict with one of your members. They talk a bit rudely to you because they do not agree with what you say. What a Toastmaster leader would do is just an example. And there are a lot of situations. I'm just taking this as an example. What a Toastmaster leader would do is they would not scream back at them. They'd take them aside and then ask them, why are you doing this? Can I know the problem? Can we solve it together? That's what a servant leader is. Shall we solve it together? Shall we do things together? Yeah, so a Toastmaster's leader, what makes a good leader in Toastmasters, is a person who includes you in everything. and makes you feel like you are worthy.
Yes, that is in fact really true. And it's not just about communication, it's about empathy, compassion, and understanding of your fellow teammates. Now, Toastmaster Sara, we are moving on to the last question. This is going to be a bit of a fun question. What was the most awkward experience you have had in Toastmasters?
Well, now I come to think of it, it was fun because right now I'm not facing too many bad experiences. But when I look back at that situation, I'm grateful for being in such an awkward situation. The thing is, it was back in early 2023. I was supposed to give a prepared speech. Mind you, I had prepared for it for 1 week. It was about tongue twisters. You see, the thing is, in the end, I tongue twisted myself. I went up to the stage with a bang and they called me out. Tongue twisters, Sara Rahim. Sara Rahim, tongue twisters. I went up to the stage and confidently started my speech with a bang. The thing is, I just started it with a bang. After that, when I looked at the audience, I suddenly got conscious that they were actually looking at me and I was standing there with my mind totally blank. I tried dragging something from the back of my mind, but that did not work too. So I was like, I'm really sorry guys, I cannot do this. I'll just go and sit back. Well, the funny thing here is that someone actually came to me and told, you actually had the guts to go back and sit down. If it had been someone else, they would have just ranted on even if it were nonsense. Well, I think I'd rather have been that someone else in that case. Yeah, so that was the most awkward experience that I faced. I felt like people were staring at me and, you know, I felt so underconfident. But what a senior told me and a valuable thing that I learned from that experience was that don't prepare your speeches because you are going to talk about it. People don't know what you have prepared at all. So even if you talk about nonsense, it's going to be totally fine. They're going to be absorbed into your speech as long as you have the correct aspects, you know, weaved into them. So for example, if I started talking about tongue twisters, it'll be totally fine if I just backtracked a bit and went off the track, but you know, gave a good speech. The thing is here, I'm not telling you all to, you know, go off the track always in your speeches, but be genuine. Talk through you. Don't talk through someone else's script or through maybe ChatGPT if you try to AI generate your speech. Yes.
That is indeed a valuable advice for the young speakers out there, Toastmaster Sara. And yes, like she said, there's always something to take away, lessons to be learned in Toastmasters, whatever good or bad speech that is.
Well, Sharani, like you said, there are quite a few traits that make a really good Toastmaster. And I know that you are experienced as well, so this last question would be to sum it all up. How has Toastmasters enriched your life?
Toastmasters has enriched my life in a very transformative way, I would say, because I used to be a super introverted person back in school, and I wasn't the type of person to go and initiate conversations or try to talk to people or strangers. But right now it seems like a piece of cake to me because I have become a person that I never thought I'd be. I've had that confidence to speak, to present my ideas in a way that people can really understand so that they can feel what you say. It's not just about what you say, it's about the choice of words, what you say, like metaphors even matter, and then when you say it, and there's always moments when you need to know if you are supposed to talk or not, and silence also sometimes matters. And these are things that I learned through Toastmasters, and when it comes to my career, Toastmasters has really enriched my life by making me overcome the fear of public speaking and going outside my boundaries. it kind of changed me into a person who can stand up whenever I wanted to speak, and to make me capable of speaking my mind, which is something that you learn as you go through your journey to Toastmasters.
Yes, so that I totally agree with you. Like, you know, being a Toastmaster means speaking out your mind. And yeah, I think that's about all from the FAQs that we have currently. That's it for our first episode, guys. This is the Toasters Digest podcast again.
Thank you for joining in, and we hope you enjoyed our podcast. Stay tuned for more amazing episodes coming up.